Good evening. Yes, I'm so excited again this evening. You might say why. Very simple. Holy Spirit, have your way. We cannot lose if we follow the Holy Spirit. The scriptures teach he was sent to lead and to guide us into all the truth. Then the scriptures say, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth points to a person, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're walking in a finished work. So we're thankful tonight, this evening, for apostolic government, apostolic truth. I believe we're following one of the greatest men in our generation. So I'm thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and Mom Carolyn Thompson and the entire royal family. Let us begin tonight's session. We'll pick up from where we left off on our last session. And we're talking about effective prophesying as outlined in chapter number 6 of your books. Let us begin. Part D, the principle of accountability. Now, we're talking about effective what? Prophesy, right? We already dealt with the four realms of prophecy, right? And we understand that all of those realms must be judged by what? The canon of Scripture. So when we start talking about important principles for effective prophesying, right, then we still must understand that the canon of Scripture is what? Involved, right? If we're going to be accountable, we have to be accountable to what? God's word. Go ahead, daughter.
The scripture clearly teaches us
that God holds the spiritual leaders accountable for the spiritual health and the spiritual well-being of their flock, the flock that the Holy Ghost gave them oversight of.
They are to bring them to maturity.
This is the leaders of the flock. They are responsible for bringing the flock to maturity
and to a new strength,
In the Lord.
Someone must stand accountable.
And someone must be responsible
for everything
that is said or done
in the church.
That's a great responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's why individuals, when they come to a local church, you listening?
Yeah.
Many don't want to be trained because it seems as though the church is the only place where people don't want what? Guidelines. To be held accountable for their actions. Are you listening?
Yes,
oftentimes when these type of ministries, which are apostolic in nature, are encountered, they are accused of being what? Dictators.
Mm-hmm.
Or an occult.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Yes, you're right.
But being accountable and responsible doesn't make those leaders dictators.
Right.
You listening?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Failure
to observe these principles
results in the errors
that are found
in many gatherings of believers
today, especially amongst tongue-talking believers. Go ahead.
Where the gifts are in operation. Without sufficient.
Responsible oversight.
Even the plants that are in the garden
operate under proper oversight
as they submit themselves
to the touches of who? The gardener or the vine dresser.
He fertilizes, prunes,
and waters the plants
so that their beauty and their fruitfulness
can become evident. The plants receive
and submit to the ministry of the gardener
who is praised
for the demonstrative health
who is praised for the demonstrative help
and beauty of those plants.
It is only those
that are submitted to authority
who are able to minister
with authority.
Very important.
See, these principles don't work at church only.
They guide your whole life.
If you want an effective workplace and business, all you have to do is have people that will adhere to these principles.
You cannot be in authority if you are not first under authority.
See, Matthew chapter 8, the centurion servant was sick of the palsy.
You listening?
Paralyzed. But he heard of a man called Jesus of Nazareth.
But this man, being a military man, say, I understand how authority work,
because I myself am a man who's what? Under authority.
He say, I have servants. I tell this one, do this. I tell this one, come here.
You listening?
I give them orders and what? They carry it out.
You listening?
This man told Jesus as he was on the way to heal that centurion servant.
You don't need to come to my house.
You don't need to show up.
Matter of fact, I'm not even worthy for you to show up.
All I need you to do is put in word form,
command my servant to be healed, and I know that my servant will be healed.
Why? Because just like I have authority and those obey me, then I understand you have authority over everything.
So the wind, the sea, you listening? And even sickness and disease obey you.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So the first email was not sent,
thank you, in your generation.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Psalm 107:20.
And he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their destruction.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
See, you want to hit the send button. God been hit the send button.
You just not reading the email.
Go ahead.
God has set spiritual leadership
within the church
so that they can bring the saints
to maturity
in all aspects
of Christian life.
E,
the principle of regulation.
In 1 Corinthians
chapter 14,
verses 27 through 31,
lies the principle
of proper regulation
for the what?
Vocal gifts.
The vocal gifts, prophecy,
diverse kinds of tongues,
and the what?
Interpretation of tongues are the what?
Vocal gifts.
You listening?
These vocal gifts comes with protocols,
regulations,
principles to be adhered and followed.
Go ahead.
When properly understood,
this principle of regulation
will remove a lot of confusion
and disorder
from church services.
The people of God
will be edified
and built up
without quenching the prophetic flow,
which is what?
Very important.
Why? Because the prophetic flow is what?
The spirit of prophecy.
It is the testimony of what?
Jesus Christ.
That's what prophecy is all about.
To make everyone in the service aware that he's here.
Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 14, 27 through 31.
Through 28.
If any man speak
in an unknown tongue.
Now, listen.
If any man speak
in an unknown tongue, let it be by two
or at the most by three.
And at that by what?
Course. And let one what?
Interpret.
But if there be no interpreter,
let him keep silence in the church.
Let them keep what? Silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Now, what does it mean by course? Two or three. The first one speak, the second one speak, and the third one speak. You understand that? You understand that? By course. You listening? But if there's no what? Interpreter. See, what good is it to speak in an unknown tongue when there's no interpretation? The church is not what? Edified. That's why the entire 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is dealt, what's the word I'm looking for? Dedicated to the proper use. You listening? Of the gifts. Go ahead.
Those scriptures
give to us clear guidelines
to help us to regulate the flow
of tongues and the interpretation of tongues.
There are five things
that we need to know
from these verses,
which regulates the message in tongues
and the interpretation.
Number one,
to allow only two or three
individuals
to give a message in tongues
at any given meeting.
By two
or at the most three,
it does not mean
two or three fragments of a message,
but two or three persons
giving a message in tongues.
Number two,
each delivery of the message
in tongues
must first be interpreted
before another message
in tongues
is given.
Do y'all understand the flow?
So if there's no interpreter,
right,
then we don't get to two and three.
I'm gonna go over here.
This is not complicated.
You listening?
Each message in tongues must be what?
Interpreted.
You listening?
Before you move to the next one.
You listening?
Yes. Go ahead.
Each message in turn
must first receive interpretation.
Number three.
Each message in tongues should receive only one interpretation.
When a tongue is given,
there may be many others
who feel they may have an interpretation.
Those who did not get the opportunity
to give the interpretation
should give it out as what?
Prophecy.
Even if the first
and the initial interpretation
was not complete or clear.
The giving or the speaking forth
of the interpretation
as inspired words of prophecy
will complete it.
Number four.
If our interpretation of the message
in tongues
is similar to the one that is already or previously given,
then we should refrain
from giving it out as prophecy.
And number five,
if there's no one to interpret
the first message in tongues,
then all other fragments
of the message in tongues
must not be delivered
since there's no one what?
To interpret.
So that's why a lot of time when we're in various services, you listening,
and there's a whole bunch of what?
Speaking in tongues,
you listening?
It's like
they are barbarians to you.
And you are barbarians to them.
Why? because there's no interpretation. I didn't say translation. There's no interpretation of what the Spirit is saying to who? The church. That's why it's important to understand that these gifts of the Spirit, you listening, are not show off. You listening? They're to be exercised with proper government and authority. Go ahead. Then the one who gave the first message in tongues should pray to God that he himself might interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. This is something we must listen, continue to desire to do. You don't just want to give just a message in tongues. You want to complete it. Divers kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues is equivalent to prophecy. And the purpose of prophecy is to edify the church, to exhort the church, and to what? Comfort the church. Go ahead.
This scripture
brings the giving of the message that come in tongues
to an orderly end.
Tongues and prophecy
as a
sign. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21 through 22,
Paul states
that both tongues and prophecies
are signs in this age
or to this generation.
A sign points to something
beyond itself,
and it reveals a destination.
These two signs,
they are miraculous phenomena,
pointing us to a higher reality
that is beyond ourselves.
By using the concept concerning signs,
Paul conveys to us, the Apostle Paul conveys to us the idea
that each of these two groups of people
was destined for some special consequence.
What is the destiny
that each of these two signs signify?
Number one,
tongues as a sign of what?
Judgment.
In 1 Corinthians 14:21,
in the law,
it is written,
with men of other tongues
and other lips
will I speak unto this people.
And yet for all that,
will they not hear me,
saith the Lord.
Paul is quoting from Isaiah
chapter 28,
verses 11 and 12.
The reference to the foreign tongue
in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11,
was that of the Assyrian tongue
as a result of their invasion
of Judah.
The message that was born or carried by the Assyrian tongue
was a message of God's judgment
upon persistent unbelief.
God's offer of rest
and refreshing
was rejected.
So consequently,
they had to face the judgment of God.
Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12.
For with stammering lips
and another tongue
will he speak to his people,
to whom he said,
This is the rest
wherewith
ye may cause the weary
to rest.
And this is the refreshing.
yet they would not hear.
Likewise,
the New Testament tongue
functions as a
sign, pointing to the destined judgment
that comes to all unbelievers
if they persist in their unbelief.
Every time
someone speaks in tongues,
whether privately
or in the congregation,
it is a sign pointing towards
judgment
against unbelief.
As long as God tarries
in his judgment
upon unbelievers,
tongues must continue
as a warning sign
of their eternal destiny
and destruction.
Number two,
prophecy as a sign of rest
and refreshing.
If God's people
would choose to believe
and become believers
by hearing or heeding to God's voice,
they would have had rest
and refreshing.
God offers to us these blessings of rest
and refreshing
through the vehicle of the prophetic word.
Those who exercise faith
will inherit them.
Thus,
the continual operation
of the prophetic word
in the church
is a sign
and a promise
to those who believe
God's progressive blessings
will be upon their lives.
The prophetic flow
is God's sign
of another visitation
of the times of refreshing,
and that progressively
God will bring his people
into a further rest.
If all speak in tongues,
will they not say unto us that we are mad?
In 1 Corinthians chapter 14,
verse 23,
Apostle Paul states
an important principle
for tongues
and its operation
within the local assembly.
If therefore
the whole church become together
in one place
and all speak with tongues,
and there come in those
that are unlearned
or unbelievers,
will they not say to us that all of y'all in there are mad?
Apostle Paul
exhorts
that tongues must not be used
as a medium of communication.
If we communicate in tongues
to the people present,
they will not be able to understand us
or respond.
Thus the minds of the people
would remain unfruitful.
We would need proper communication
to produce corresponding faith actions.
We need to find a way
and a medium
of communication
that will enable others
to participate
with what is happening
in the service.
Thus,
the conclusion is
that tongues are not evil,
nor do tongues need to be forbidden,
but rather
it should not be used
as a medium of what?
Communication.
Y'all understanding this?
Okay.
So then, brethren,
what should be the medium of communication?
A song,
a teaching,
a revelation,
a tongue with interpretation. All should be used for what? Communication. Because it's something you can what? Understand. Yeah. It's only when your mind does not understand, it's on what? Fruitful. Go ahead.
Thus tongues with interpretation
equals prophecy.
Tongues with interpretation
does not
equal prophecy
for all of the following reasons.
Number one,
tongues first
communicates directly to the spirit of men.
And then with the interpretation
confirms to his mind
what has been deposited
and planted into his spirit.
Prophecy communicates
simultaneously
the word of God
to the mind and the spirit
of men.
Number two,
tongues provide
only the sense of the message.
It communicates the feelings
and the intensity
of the Holy Spirit
to the spirits of men,
making them responsive
to the flow of God's anointing.
It stirs up
and it quickens men
with a sense of the message.
Number three,
tongues create an atmosphere
of expectancy.
When a message
in tongues is given,
silence follows
to allow time
for the message to be
what? Interpreted.
This creates an air of expectancy
causing all ears
to listen
and to attentively focus
on what God is about to say.
Prophecy
brings to us the consciousness of God
directly into our
minds and hearts.
And number four,
tongues and interpretation
provide to us an excellent opportunity
and way for training
the human spirit.
The sense of the message
is left upon the human spirit.
The sense of the message
is left upon the human spirit.
With the interpretation
is spoken.
It gives explanation
and clarity
to what a person
initially senses
within himself.
Thus the spirit and the mind,
they are taught to work
and coordinate together.
F,
the principle of faith.
Romans chapter 12,
verse 6.
Having then gifts
differing according to the grace
that is given to us,
whether prophecy,
let us prophesy
according to the appropriation of faith.
Here we see that gifts
differ according to
the grace that comes from God
and the faith
that rises from within a believer.
Gifts not only differ
according to the divine enabling
of God,
but also according to
the level of faith
that is developed within that area
of our gifting.
The more understanding
and the more workable knowledge that we have
in the areas of our giftings,
the more the gift will develop.
Grace puts into our lives, grace puts into our lives. The necessary enabling and the equipping,
dealing with all our fears,
dealing with all of our fears,
limitations
and our insufficiencies.
Then a new level of faith
develops in that area
of gifting,
a greater assurance
of God's strength.
Brings to us boldness
and confidence
to use the gifts.
Faith rises
and releases the supernatural,
enabling
enabling that which God has put within us
so that the needs of others
are met.
This divine grace
that has enabled us
will also impart unto others
the grace
that is flowing through us.
This grace
puts into the man
and gives out
what grace has put in.
Faith draws God's grace
into man
and releases it
through the gifts of the Spirit.
G,
the principle of liberty,
where the Spirit is
made Lord,
there is liberty
in that place.
As long as the Holy Spirit
is moving and flowing
freely
in the spirits of men,
the Lordship of Christ
will be evidently
manifested
in and through the gifts.
When that freedom from which Christ
has set us free
is crippled
by our bodies or our souls,
the enemy will then capitalize
on the work of the flesh
to stop the flow
of the gifts through us.
Since gifts
use the medium
of our spirit
to flow through,
we need to be continuously filled
with the Holy Spirit.
If our hearts are filled
with the abundance of the Spirit,
our mouths will speak boldly.
H,
the principle of timing,
finding and waiting
for an appropriate
an appropriate time to speak
is vital
to the successful operation
of gifts.
Gifts will lose their effectiveness
if used at the what?
Wrong time.
Timing is very important.
Go ahead.
Appropriate time.
This is when
there is a tremendous stirring
within our hearts,
and an urge to speak
rises from within,
especially after
a good time
of praise and worship.
The appointed time.
In some churches,
the meetings are structured
in such a way
that a specific time
is allotted
or dedicated to the operation of gifts.
In other churches,
the gifts are encouraged
whenever
the leading of the Holy Spirit
is communicated by the leadership.
And I,
the principle of language,
the language that we use
in prophecy
is within our own jurisdiction.
Since prophecy is expressed
through a human vessel,
that person will express
that prophecy
within the structure
of their language,
their capacity and their vocabulary. Poetry, pictures, illustrations, and parables can each be employed depending upon what the person chooses at that moment. The object of our communication must be to bring clarity and conviction and the consciousness of God. Clarity of the message must be conveyed. Convictions of the Holy Spirit must be felt. And the consciousness of God must be ushered into our souls. This is it for this evening. Remember, on next week, we will have exams. Enjoy a great evening.